This week on the RV Podcast, we talk with our friend Heath Padgett of the RV Entrepreneur about living in an RV with an infant.
I was like scared to tell people we were traveling with our 4 to 5 month old baby because they would judge us or something. But so many people reached out and were like, I traveled with my kids during that time. And it was an amazing time because you can strap them on your chest. You can go explore. You can do everything you need to do. And they're just happy if they're with you. About like, you're continuing to live your life, and now you're bringing another teammate along for the ride. And so that's kind of how we approached it.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. We've got a fun episode in store for you this week as we welcome our friend Heath Padgett to the interview. He'll be coming up in just a couple of minutes, but many of you know Heath and his wife, Alyssa, the host of the Entrepreneur, the RV Entrepreneur website, YouTube channel, and podcast. Heath and Alyssa are a young couple who have traveled all over North America in an RV. As a couple, but about 6 months ago, they were blessed with the birth of a baby girl, Ellie. And now they are RV living with an infant. And Heath is going to share in our interview segment what changes that made in their previous traveling routines. And we're also going to talk about being an RV entrepreneur and working remotely from the road. And also this week, of course, on the podcast, lots of regular RV news, tips, comments, feedback, your questions, and another fun off-the-beaten-path report from our friends, the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride. Hello, my dear.
Hello, my Michael. We are definitely in Christmas mode here.
Oh, yeah.
We're spending quality time with family and friends and attending our grandkids' Christmas recitals and concerts. And I'm trying to get a little bit of shopping done and got the tree up and looking forward to the big day.
Yeah, it's coming very fast. Speaking of which, since Christmas and New Year's Day this year both occur on a Wednesday, which is our normal podcast release day, we are going to take off from doing the podcast. We're going to take off the 25th. So no podcast episode on the 25th, no podcast on the January 1st. We did this last year, and it was great. That's a slower time of year. Everybody's very busy with all the Christmas and New Year's festivities. So it's a great time for us to take a little podcasting break. So no podcast episodes on the 25th or January 1st. So our last episode of the year will be next Wednesday, December 18th, and then when we come back with another episode, it'll be January 8th. Now, I need your help in putting together that one. Remember what we do normally, the first episode of every year, we ask people what's on their bucket list for the new year. So we want to know for you, listeners, what's on your bucket list for 2020?
So make sure you call in and tell us where you're going.
Yeah, you can, and tell us why. You might say, hey, my bucket list is Alaska, and then tell us why, because you always wanted to go there, what you want to see. If it's visiting family and friends, give us a hint of where you're going to go in the country. And everybody loves that episode because maybe because we aren't talking so much, it's there.
And we'll get an idea maybe where we need to go.
Yep.
Some places that we haven't even thought about.
We got a couple. We'll share what we're thinking about for next year, but we would love you. So we're going to talk about it and remind you again next week to do the same thing. But we have a voicemail number to call, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990. You'll hear that repeated a couple of times during the podcast. But just call in on that and say, hey, on our bucket list for 2020 is whatchamacallit, when you're going to go, what you're going to see, why it's on your bucket list. And we'll share all of those that we get in on January 8th after our Christmas break. But we will be back next week with one more episode. And then the next week is Christmas and the next week is New Year's. So call in once more, that number, 586-372-6990.
Also this week, we're doing the finishing edits on our next 7-day adventure guide ebook, which will cover Florida's fabulous Gulf Coast. Barring unforeseen circumstances, it should be released next week. In fact, I hope we can announce its availability on our Sunday night Ask Us Anything live broadcast on YouTube. And if you've never caught us on that live question and answer show, just go to youtube.com/RV Lifestyle and subscribe. When you click the little bell icon, you will then be notified when we go live or have a new video to see.
So the plan is to make this Gulf Coast Florida ebook available. We'll probably make it, it'll probably be right up. We hope to make it available for sale right even at 7 o'clock Sunday night. So listen to the live stream on YouTube. And if it's, hopefully it's done, officially announced, then. And, that way, we want to get this out early enough. So all those snowbirds who are planning to head to Florida after the holidays will be able to get their hands on this book. And just a heads up, our 7-day adventure guide to the Gulf Coast will be followed in just a few weeks with a 7-day adventure guide to the Atlantic coast of Florida. So soon we're going to have two adventure guides out covering Florida. The Gulf Coast guide will be ready next week. So stay tuned. And as soon as we finish editing it, we'll start turning our attention into the Atlantic coast one. But we're really excited about this. That's one of our favorite places in the country. And we have some great photos and great tips, and like on all of our adventure guides. And we'll put a link to all the other adventure guides that we have done on different parts of the country. We'll put that in the show notes. And again, the show notes, that's kind of like an outline or a transcript of the podcast. And you can find that on our RV Lifestyle blog at rvlifestyle.com/272, 272 being the episode of this podcast.
And we hope you're enjoying this podcast. And if so, will you help us get the word out? And the best way to do that is to share a link to the RV podcast by email or social media to friends who would benefit from all the RV travel information and advice we put out every week. Thanks for helping us get the word out about the RV podcast.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Dish Outdoors, which lets RVers pay as they go, month by month if you want, and watch HD satellite television from wherever they're camped with an easy-to-set-up system of both a receiver and an antenna. The one we have in our RV that Jennifer and I have is just awesome. We've got the new HD satellite receiver called Wally that's made with RV travelers in mind. It's a very compact receiver, super easy to set up, lets you jump right into that satellite, working wirelessly to connect to your favorite apps like Netflix as well. Now, this Wally receiver works seamlessly with the Dish Playmaker portable satellite antenna. It's very small compared to what you used to see in many of those satellite dishes. It's small. It's perfect for both portable or mobile use in an RV. So easy to set up because it automatically finds and locks into the satellites for optimum reception. And here's what's awesome. You do not need to be a Dish at Home subscriber to get Dish Outdoors. You can pay as you go for service, just a month at a time. So it's really great. Get the equipment. It comes in a great bundle that we can help you save $50 off by using the coupon code RV Lifestyle. So to get all the details of this, just go to rvlifestyle.com/dish.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
A report out last week said many of America's national parks are under a deep and immediate threat posed by non-native species like rats, domesticated cats, and feral pigs. Since non-native species have no natural predators, they can breed and reproduce quickly, causing problems to the ecosystem of national parks. Whenever I read a report like this, I always think of the problem with the Burmese boa constrictors in the Everglades and Big Cypress National Preserve. We'll put a link in the show notes to a blog story we did about this at rvlifestyle.com/272.
State parks throughout the country are planning something that's pretty cool. It's called First Day Hikes, and it's aimed for New Year's Eve, trying to get people outside. Would you believe New Year's is less than a month away now? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, this free First Day Hikes program at various state parks features guided hikes offered in all 50 states. There'll be state parks in all 50 states taking part. And they're all part of a program seeking to connect exercise and nature. First Day Hike started about 25 years ago in Massachusetts. It's grown, and the idea sounds like a wonderful way to kick off the new year. So there's a link on the show notes for this episode under the News of the Week segment. You can click on that, and you can learn a whole bunch about First Day Hikes for the new year.
I think we've all had or we've heard stories about somebody having a craving for a particular type of fast food late at night. Well, a 56-year-old woman in Washington really must have wanted some Taco Bell when she drove her RV the wrong way into the fast food restaurant drive-thru. And Oops. Then she got stuck very late at night. Oops. And when police arrived and charged, then the police came and charged her with driving under the influence.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the influence of Taco Bell.
You think? Okay. Oh, well. Yeah, that must have been interesting. Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, along with three other conservation groups, this is very interesting, filed a lawsuit last week to block an August order allowing e-bikes in national parks, among other things. E-bikes, which is what Jennifer and I use, I'll put a link to a picture of the ones that we have. They're regular bicycles that provide motorized pedal assist when the biker's tired or going up a hill or just wants a little help. The lawsuit is concerned about the speed that e-bike users could have while they're on bike trails and the impact that might have on others using those trails. So, you know, there's always an objective to everything, objection to everything. We are kind of obviously very pro e-bike because we have them and we know how nice and fun they are. But I guess for some groups feel that poses a threat. So we'll have to see how that all shakes out.
Canada's British Columbia is putting into place a new online reservation system that sounds very interesting. If you call for a camping reservation and all the spots are full, the system will allow you to get notified if something opens up and will show you nearby campgrounds that have openings. The system will also have options like buying firewood or even ice online before you arrive. British Columbia has about 10,700 campsites. About 55% accept reservations.
That is a really good idea, isn't it?
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, many times when you call up a state park or, you know, any other kind of park, a national park, you know, they'll say, well, we don't have any openings. And they may an hour later or 2 hours later or first thing in the morning because there's always cancellations. And so smart campers get to the fact where they show up at 8 o'clock or 7:55 before they open, and then if there's sudden vacancies, they can take them, or you just keep calling back and forth. But this is nice where Canada's British Columbia is actually going to alert you when there's a spot available. I like that idea.
I really like that idea. And just a reminder to everybody, when you've booked and tied up a site and you can't get there, please, please, please do your best to cancel.
Yeah, officially
cancel. So somebody else can have that spot.
Because most parks have to, like, keep that site, you know, because somebody reserved it. And if you know you're not going to come and, you know, say, oh, I'm out the money, well, call the park. So at least somebody else can then have access to it. Mm-hmm. Great point, Jen. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing and powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the podcast. Rad Power Bikes offers all sorts of different e-bike models that fit just about every possible variety of rider wants and needs. They've got fat tire bikes, mountain type bikes, beach cruiser type bikes, step through models. That's the one Jennifer has where there's no center bar and you just step through. It's so easy to get on and off. All of the Rad Power bikes can go 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling, or they give you the choice to ride pedal free with throttle using five different levels of pedal assist. Jennifer and I both have Rad Power e-bikes. We enjoy them immensely, and we're seeing them at almost every campground we visit these days. These bikes are perfect for people who want to get back into bike riding, or maybe you're recovering from surgery or injury, or just looking for an extra boost to keep up with friends or family. You can go 20 to 40 miles on a single charge. They also charge very quickly, by the way. They're priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes in the market. And if you use the coupon code RVLifestyle, they'll take an additional $75 off the price. Free shipping on all Rad Power bikes. Your best bet. Go right now to radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right. Hey, before we get to some email questions that we want to answer this week, here's a voice message that was left to us by our friend Tom Burkett in regards to a story we reported in last week's episode about this new RV toll pass that's supposedly good on most of the nation's toll roads and is being aimed at RVers. Tom has what he thinks is a much less expensive solution to the problem of all those different toll roads requiring different passes for their systems. So let's listen in to Tom Burkett.
Hey, Mike. I was interested to hear the report last week of the RV toll pass that you can purchase for $95. And I wanted to report that several years ago, we purchased a North Carolina Quick Pass. I think we actually just had to pay deposit an amount of money in our toll account, and then they sent us the pass in the mail. Anyway, we've traveled a lot east of the Rocky Mountains, and the only toll road we've ever found on which that North Carolina Quick Pass doesn't work was a toll road, a fairly short toll road in Oklahoma. So if you're looking for a less expensive option to that $95 item, the North Carolina Quick Pass, I think, would be a good choice for you. Thanks for everything. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks, Tom. That's a great idea. We have the Easy Pass on ours, which we picked up for the Ohio Turnpike, and I think it works in Pennsylvania as well when we head east, but it's hard to get one that works on all of them, so I'm not aware of the North Carolina one, so I will check that out. Appreciate that. Tom used our voicemail number, 586-372-6990, and we invite you to do the same thing. You can have your voice featured on the podcast. You can send us email, like we've got from a couple of listeners this week. Here's one from Deborah. She says, "Hi, Mike, Jennifer, and Bo. I first want to say bless you for putting out such great content on YouTube. My husband found you during a rough patch of chemo about 2 years ago. He's done okay since completion. We first started watching because he could still get out and about by watching your videos. He loves Bo and looks for him in every video. We're now in the past, the dreaming stage. Now we're planning to get a rig. There'll be three adult-sized folks. Son is 17 and will remain living with us as an adult. The Class B choices are few for sleeping three adults, 5'7", 5'10", and 6'1". Hope to see you out in the road." That's from Deborah. Isn't that a nice note?
Yes, very nice.
Well, I'm so glad that your husband has gotten through that that chemo spell. That's tough patch, as you say. But now you got the open road calling. Class B is not going to work for three of full-size adults, not for any length of time. I mean, you can make anything work, but I think you want to be looking at a Class C. I think that's your best bet. Most of the Class Cs can easily sleep three people. There's always a main bed for two, and there's always usually another one that can be made up for two or for a very comfortable for one. So start looking at Class Cs. There's not a lot of difference other than the Class C is a little wider, sometimes a little taller.
And make sure when you're looking at that third bed, the length of it. Because I don't know how tall you all are.
Well, they're 5'7", 5'10", and 6'1". Yeah. Okay. So you need some height. Yeah, sometimes that one of the beds can be kind of short. So,
right.
And, you know, the best way, Deborah, to find that right rig, I don't know where you guys are located, but it's to go to an RV show. The season is kind of shut down now for Christmas, but it'll start up the biggest show in the country for at least for the first 9 months of the year takes place in January. And that is in Tampa at the Tampa RV Super Show. And that is always a big one. And when you go to a show, a big RV show like that, there'll be every different model will be there. And you can actually go in, you can all try it, you can just spend as much time as you want looking at them, and you can save so much time. We will be at the Tampa RV show, and we look forward to seeing you. That's the third week in January, and we can't wait for that. That's one of our favorite shows.
It is.
I think it's because, you know, we usually, the weekend before that, we're always up in Michigan's Upper Peninsula in our winter camp out. And so we're coming from 2.5 feet of snow to Tampa. That's a no-brainer. We're going to enjoy Tampa. So Deborah, try Tampa if you can. All right, one more email, and this one comes in from Rosemarie. It says, we can't figure out a good solution for satellite TV and internet. Is there a unit that does both? We have a new 2019 Holiday Rambler Admiral, and we're scared to death about choosing a not-so-great product only to have to reinstall another one. Do we need one unit for internet and one for satellite TV? Yes, you do. They're two completely different animals. They both operate on different bands, different frequencies, and you want an internet unit, which can either be a cell phone booster, or it can be a combination Wi-Fi booster and cell phone cellular extender. You can check the Togo, T-O-G-O unit. We have that one. Which works on AT&T. It's probably one of the better prices. It's like $540 for the whole year. You can get it in advance, unlimited. And then there's also the WineGuard Connect 2 system, which is a Wi-Fi amplifier booster and a 4G LTE router. So you can do that, and you can put your own SIM card in there. So for either network, I have videos on all of this stuff on the YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/RV lifestyle and you can find them. But unfortunately, you got to have both. You don't have to have as many things as we have up on our roof, but I like to have redundancy, and I like to tinker around with all that gear. So I've got, I don't know if I have any more roof real estate left at our RV. It's pretty full.
You're going to have things attached to the side pretty soon.
Well, I got one antenna. I got a cell phone booster antenna attached to a rear ladder, But you do have to have one of each, internet and satellite TV, different bands, different functions, and you have to have different units. So hope that that helps out.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number. 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV, even the older ones. Now, we've been using Battle Born batteries for most of the past year in our RV, and we see why their motto, the Battle Born motto, is get out there, stay out there. That's their mission, and that is what these lithium batteries do. They last longer, they charge faster, they charge fuller, they're maintenance-free, they weigh about half as much as an AGM battery. The team of battery experts at Battle Born Batteries are familiar with almost every type of RV out there right now, Class A, B, C, a van, camper van, fifth wheel, whatever it is, trailer, towable trailer. They're experts in all of these, and most of their batteries can just replace whatever you have. And they can match your system with the right cabling and inverter, charger, solar controller as well. You need to go to their website, which is, I got a link built right in for it here on the podcast. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium. It'll take you to their site. You can shop around. You can get in touch with one of their experts. Tell them your system. Make sure when you tell them that you heard about them on the RV podcast. But get out there. Stay out there. Lead is dead. Lead acid batteries. Lithium is the way to go. And I think you'll be thrilled with Battle Born batteries. We sure are.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Hey, I'm really excited about this. Time now to welcome Heath Padgett to the Interview of the Week segment. He's been on the program before, but not for a couple of years now. Many of you have gotten to know Heath and his wife, Alyssa. They are hosts of the RV Entrepreneur website, YouTube channel, and podcast. Heath and Alyssa are a young couple who have traveled all over North America as a couple. But about 6 months ago, they were blessed with the birth of their baby girl, Ellie. And now they're RVing with an infant. Now, Heath came on the podcast and he's going to share what changes compared to their previous traveling routines Ellie has made. We're also going to talk about being an RV entrepreneur and working remotely, independent of location from the road. And also we have a video version of this interview showing lots of photos and images from Heath and Alyssa's travels, and you'll see a picture of Ellie. And that will be embedded right into the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/272, or you can see that on our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel. Heath Padgett, our special guest this week.
Well, joining us right now is Heath Padgett. Good day, Heath. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mike. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
We're recording this bright and early for both of us. It turns out we're both early risers, so this is good, right?
I'm kind of early riser as a default, even if I wasn't before, because now I have a six-month-old daughter, and so you kind of have to just be up when she's up.
Yeah. Do you have like a morning routine? Do you get up regularly every morning? I've always found that's the best way to get the day done.
Yeah, I would say that anybody probably who has went through the newborn process, like any morning routine that I had before is thrown out the window. But I guess there's a few things that I've done every morning since we started traveling in 2014, which is I journal, I drink at least probably two cups of coffee, and I try to read. Although this year I've gotten away from like reading in the morning. I'll typically read like nonfiction in the morning. So like something, whether it's like a business book or just like a, kind of a book that challenges me in a way. So that's usually like my ramp up morning routine. And then I get into it. In the ideal world, there'd be exercise in there, but I'm just being honest that it hasn't looked like that. But at one point I'd like to get more exercise integrated. Alyssa and I go on a walk every morning. So I guess that's a light exercise, but nothing crazy.
Well, you're moving and fortunately you're young and you'll be chasing around little Ellie soon enough. It sounds like you read Hal Elrod's book, The Power of Morning Routine, because that's pretty much what I do as well. And I'm surprised at how effective journaling is to get you started.
I did read it a few years ago, like after we started traveling. I know that it kind of was the book, it's called The 5 a.m. Morning Miracle or something like that.
The Morning Miracle.
Yeah, so it was good. I fortunately started journaling before that. I think journaling is one of those things that people love to talk about doing. But I use a program called OneNote, and it's, even though I'm a Mac user, it's actually one of the few PC programs that I still use just because I like the layout of it. It kind of looks like a tabular notebook. But it's cool because I just journal every morning and I put the date and like I do an automatic timestamp type of thing. And then I put like a headline for that day, like I'm writing a blog post or something. And so the fun part about that has been, once it kind of was created as a habit, I can look back on our travels from 3 or 4 years ago and see like, what was I doing today and this morning, and kind of look at things that I've struggled with over time, or, you know, the highlights of the past few years, then it's all kind of recorded. Otherwise you just forget.
You do indeed. And I've found the same basic thing. Well, hey, we're getting off topic here, but I know a lot of people love to talk about all this stuff about how everybody gets going. But we want to talk about RVing with an infant, soon to be a toddler. Ellie is 6 months old now?
Correct.
That's right. So you guys, and we'll kind of talk about traveling full-time in an RV at a young age in just a minute. But let's offer up, how did Ellie change everything in the RV for you guys?
So I guess for context, Alyssa and I traveled for full-time for almost 5 years. And then when we got pregnant last year, we decided to not stay full-time on the road in an RV. So we got an apartment outside of Dallas this past year. And a lot of families do make the transition to parenthood in staying in the RV. And that's totally cool. My wife was really sick at the time. Every time I made things like Brussels sprouts or walked around the RV, she was just nauseous. And she was like, I want a bath. I want some room. So we're like, let's go be near family, be in one place, and just like make this transition to parenthood in a little bit more room. And so that was what we did the past year. Although by the time Ellie was like 4 weeks old, we realized, hey, like we've got this parent thing down. She's 4 weeks old already. Like we took our first road trip to Colorado. And then last month we actually spent the whole month in a motorhome. Well, most of the month in a motorhome over in Italy with her. And so that was kind of our first foray into RVing with a baby. And it was totally different. And it was in about the same size rig as you currently have now. It's like 23, 24 foot. And that's where we spent most of our time the past 18 months. We're in rigs of that size. We had a Wonder for a little while. We were in New Zealand in a 24-foot camper van. And then in Italy, it was kind of about the same size because you don't have big rigs over there. So it was definitely a different experience as far as like, it was for us, it was kind of like, here is the beta, the test trip to see like how it goes for us traveling with a baby and see if it's something we want to continue doing moving forward because we didn't know.
So a lot of people, a lot of young people are thinking about going out and traveling, young families, and they say, oh, the kids are too young, the baby, we got a baby. Tell us how it's done. What are the changes you have to make? What are the challenges you face? And how did you ultimately decide that this works and it works well?
So I would say that there are like a million other families who are way more qualified to talk about this than me because we've only done it for a month. But I think the encouraging thing was that whenever Alyssa and I started traveling, we were newlyweds. And a lot of people, whenever they looked at us and the fact that we were a little bit younger and things like that, they basically said, get it out of your system before you have kids. And I understood where they're coming from. I didn't give it much thought. But then when we got pregnant, I was like, wait, does that mean our travel is over? Like, is it done? And so, and we didn't believe that, but it was just something that so many people said to us over the past few years. And so whenever we had Ellie, we were like, hey, she's here. And we also still can work from anywhere. And we still have a lot of places on our list that we want to go see. So instead of just saying like, we're going to buy another rig here in the States immediately, we wanted to go travel internationally because that's been a lot of the higher ups on our list of places we wanted to go visit. We wanted to go to Italy. And so basically we're like, let's go do a test trip in an RV with her and just see how she does. Because it's one of those things that if she didn't respond well to being on the road, I don't even know what that would have looked like. Maybe she cried the whole time. Maybe we just felt like she hated it. Then we didn't want to make that decision if it wasn't best for our family. So we went over there and actually a lot of the people who we kind of like, when we put it out there on social media, people were really supportive versus like before we felt like people were not supportive. I was like scared to tell people we were traveling with our 4 to 5 month old baby because they would judge us or something. But so many people reached out and were like, I travel with my kids during that time. And it was an amazing time because you can strap them on your chest. You can go explore. You can do everything you need to do. And they're just happy if they're with you. And obviously they're not going to remember any of it, but it's not necessarily about them. It's about like you're continuing to live your life. And now you're bringing another teammate along for the ride. And so that's kind of how we approached it. When we got over there, we immediately picked up our motorhome in outside of Venice, and we drove to the northern Italian Dolomites. And the first like stretch of the road, I was driving a manual motorhome, and a lot of them are manual in Italy. And I've never driven a manual really before in my life, so it's like learning how to drive a manual. And luckily, she slept like the first stretch of our trip to get into the first campeggio, which is what they call campgrounds in Italy, and. And yeah, and then for the rest of the trip, it was really just a matter for her at that age for us to navigate around her nap. So we realized like, hey, she's going to wake up in the morning, she'll hang out, she'll poop, she'll eat. And then like at a certain point, she'll get tired. And that's a good time for us to hit the autostrada, the major highway in Italy, and go travel for a few hours. And then we'll stop and we'll go to like a castle or something like that. So it was really just a matter of timing it with her naps. And then when she'd wake up and we'd be exploring, she loved it. And there were days where we were out all day. But for us, the key takeaway from what you were asking was, I guess we realized that it was totally possible and doable that we could continue living our traveling lifestyle with a little one. And there's just more things that we have to be intentional about. But I think that was kind of the key takeaway from us after doing that for a month in Italy. And it could totally change. But at this point, that's kind of where we're at.
So you're back in the States, and Ellie's now 6 months old. Those nap times will kind of move out and change a little bit. Tell us about your RV plans for 2020.
Yeah, so I was talking with you about this yesterday. We're picking up, like, we're going the polar opposite way from most people. Most people talk about, like, they buy a big rig and then they downsize. And that's kind of what we did for a couple of years. And then the other thing that we realized being in, like, a 24-foot rig with a baby was we didn't have anywhere to put her, like, during the day. So if we wanted her to, like, roll around and get tummy time and things like that, you kind of have to, like, be there on the bed with her and kind of, like, monitor and keep her contained so she doesn't fall off the rear twin bed. And then, or she's like in her car seat. Ideally, we could like put her in a little area outside with her bed that we brought, but you know, weather pending, it was cold. So we basically realized that we didn't want to be in a much smaller rig. So in a couple of weeks, we're picking up a 40-foot Winnebago Forza. It's a 38D diesel pusher. And we weren't planning on going that big, but a couple of years, Winnebago came to our RV Entrepreneur Summit. And so there's a couple of reasons why we ended up going with this rig. One, I'm kind of nerding out and excited about driving a diesel rig because I drove a Class A gas over the mountains and for many years, and that wasn't really fun. So I've always liked the idea of having a diesel rig for a little period of time. And the other reason why was because Winnebago, they came to our summit, our conference that we hosted a couple years ago for people who work on the road, and they interviewed people over the weekend. And we were basically like, hey, we've probably got one of the biggest gatherings of people who are running a business or working remotely from their RV. So why don't you take advantage of that and interview people about what they would really want in a desk space and set up. And so we booked out slots all over the weekend, and basically they did one-on-one chats with a lot of our attendees, and our attendees were really excited to give feedback, and their product managers were really excited to take some of these ideas back. And they went back up to Forest City, and a few months later we were at their rally, and they said, Heath and Alyssa, come over to our warehouse or whatever manufacturing area, and we're going to show you some of the things that came out of that. And they basically had all these desk prototypes that all came from feedback from our attendees. Long story short, for the first time, they removed the bunk beds, and they created a floor plan specifically with a dual desk in this particular unit. So it's got not just like a little area of like a afterthought desk, but actually a desk space for both Alyssa and I. And they put it in this 38D. And so while we may have not went this big just on our own accord, because it had this really cool desk and it was a tie-in for them coming to our conference, we were like, you know what, this is going to be, why not? It'll be fun. So that's kind of the backstory that you didn't ask for about why we're getting this rig.
Well, it's good. And let's talk about that. Traveling with an infant, you do need more room. And many of the smaller RVs are limited in seat belts. And if you travel with an infant, that infant needs to be in a car seat.
For sure.
Which means you have to have a seatbelt, and then that means your third passenger doesn't have one. So there is a challenge. I can see that for RV manufacturers to be aware of this and to design even the smaller Class C's and Class B's with the idea that you're going to need to have some more.
If you're listening, Mike Elias, we need some leisure travel vans that have good rear facing seats.
Yeah, yeah. I hope Mike listens to this. I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but yes, Mike, you do. And although we have a Unity and we love it, but we really like that Wonder that we tried out too, and we love that Ford chassis. So who knows? Maybe we can try.
Yeah.
But the other thing, and for those who are young people or people who travel in the event, you are going to have a job or have a way to generate income, most of you, 99% as you're out there. And having workspace is another big issue for so many RV manufacturers. So I hats off to Winnebago for that. And I look forward to seeing that new one of yours at your summit. You talked about the summit that Winnebago came. And you mentioned early on that you are one of many, many, many young families who travel with infants and very young children. So talk to us about this summit, and who is that for? Is it just for young families? What happens at that summit? And give us an idea who's going to be there.
You're going to be there. Jennifer's going to be there.
Yeah, so we will. We're really excited about it, actually.
So basically, a few years ago, I guess kind of restart and give you the high level overview is that Alyssa and I started traveling in 2014. And that first year on the road, it was kind of like a lot of people who decided to go out and travel. Maybe not everybody's story, but I've definitely heard this narrative a few times, which is I've saved up. I'm going to go travel the country for a year and then I'll maybe go back to my life. But then you realize this is really fun. And
this
if you have,
yeah,
exactly. And if you have skills that you can translate into, profit or things that people will pay for, then maybe you can continue making that life, making that your forever life kind of thing. And for us, we were learning video. My wife is a great writer, and we both went to school for business communications and a mixture of that. And so after that first year of traveling, we had built up skills in video production. It took us 9 months from like learning no video to getting our first paid client for like a half day shoot. It was like $1,000, which for us was like huge. We kind of realized like we can make money outside of our typical hourly rate for what we're making in our first jobs out of college. And so we started meeting other people who were trying to figure this out and make an income and life for themselves. And so I started the podcast, The RV Entrepreneur, which you've been a guest on, and basically just try to share stories of how other people were making this lifestyle work. And we also started a Facebook group at the time, which you've done. We actually have a lot of similarities, Mike, even though we've had different career paths. So there's a Facebook group, The RV Entrepreneur, and the podcast. And basically, over the past few years, this has been a place where we've tried to like bring together a community of people to share resources and learnings around how they've made this lifestyle work, because there's a million different paths, like, and there's no one path, but you know, like, it's a crazy idea when you first think about it and you tell your family and you tell your friends. And so to be able to land in a place where it doesn't seem as crazy is really meaningful, where it kind of seems like it's a normal thing. Now, most of our really good friends that we know have started some type of business that allows them to travel full time. And it's totally normal. But if I go to, you know, in most scenarios, people think that's nuts.
They do.
So our first year after doing the podcast for like a year, we decided like, let's try to bring together this group of people in person. And I was like, if we can get like 30 people there, that'd be really cool. We didn't know what it would be. We didn't really know the format, but we ended up having 120 people come. And then the next year, 250, last year, 350, this will be our fourth year. And we don't want to grow too much bigger than last year, because then it kind of gets a bit more manageable. And my wife and I do a lot of other things outside of this conference. But essentially, it's become a business conference for people who happen to live in RVs. So it's about 60 to 70% of people who are already out on the road or part-timing in some capacity. Some people are still making the transition. Age does not matter whatsoever. We have people who are 20, people who are in their 70s. And it's basically, I think, more of a mentality thing. Like, some people are just getting started in their career and they're trying to figure it out. Some people have been running a business in person for a while. We have a couple of folks who like have physical businesses in different parts of the country, but they're navigating and want to be around a community of entrepreneurs who are building other things because now they're out on the road with their family. And then we've got people who are maybe at retirement age or a little bit later even, who are trying to figure out like, how can I now spend my time doing what I want to do? And if I can make a few bucks from it, cool. So I think it's about bringing together that community. And over the weekend, we have workshops, main stage talks, and it's really all centered more like a business conference than it is any type of rally. So we have like legit business spaces, and everything is like, we don't really have any RV specific like workshops or things like that. The way we see it, it's like you can kind of go to any rally and learn about solar or something like that. So we try to really hone in on the business side of things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it does. And I like the fact that you have it for all sorts of different people in different stages of living this RV lifestyle. Whether you have a young family and an infant, whether you're just a couple, or whether you're a solo traveler, or whether you are in facing your retirement and wondering, I don't want to be bored. How can I find fun and adventure? This is the kind of thing where you gather together and you learn all sorts of stuff from others. I think probably the benefit of a gathering like this is you guys are camped. This was what drew us there on a gorgeous state park, the largest lake in Alabama. And it's in March 2020. The weather will be pretty good up there about then. We'll put links on the show notes to this conference and all of that stuff. But going right back to our topic about traveling with infants, I would gather, as you work with this community, how many young families do you think are out there full-timing or almost full-timing in an RV and earning their living on the road as they raise up these kids?
Well, I'd assume all of them who are traveling with their families are earning their income on the road. But funny because our first couple of years of hosting the summit, there were quite a few families who came, but nobody really brought their kids. Some of the families who came actually had parents in the area or brought them in, and they like hung out with the kids. And so we just didn't see kids around at all. And then last year, it was like an explosion of families with kids, and just some of them were mega families with, you know, 6, 7, 8 kids. And there were so many. And at one point, we were walking around the campground, and these kids had formed like their own collective company, essentially. And they were picking up sticks around the campground and then reselling them to attendees. They're like, I'm sure this is illegal in the state park, but I love their drive here. This is amazing. And so, long story short, and we become good friends with Jill Dinkins and Dustin Dinkins, who bought full-time families last year. Now they have partners, Dustin and Nicole. And I know that their membership has soared, and they're I don't know the numbers, but it seems like there are a lot more families who are out on the road doing this and making this lifestyle work. And I give a shout out to full-time families because they're like doing a really good job of bringing communities together to, you know, be in person and connect. And so the kids can have people to play with. I'm sure that would be my biggest concern if I was taking Ellie out on the road when she's 10 years old or something like that is, you know, I want her to have friends. I want her to socialize. And, you know, so many of these families, like they travel together and they probably get as much, if not more time, you know, being in their RV and going to these types of rallies and meetups than maybe they would even in person. And they're also getting really cool life experiences too. So it seems like there are a lot, maybe more than there have ever been because of technology and being able to see them on social media and things like that. But it seems like quite a bit.
Yep. So one of the challenges that you will have to make with Ellie is while she's only 6 months old, 6 years comes very quickly. And so she's going to need schooling. And many people are doing what we call road schooling. Full-time families can help with that. That's one decision. Another question people would ask about traveling with an infant is doctor appointments, the pediatrician. How are you going to handle that on the road?
So the first part about road schooling is a problem for future Heath and Alyssa. Yeah. We're just deferring
trust
that.
Trust me, Heath, 6 years is going to come very quickly.
I know.
Say, what happened? He was right. Yeah.
It's weird though, because it's one of those things where like we know we want to give her a great education. But as far as like the specifics around that, our lives have changed so dramatically in various times. Like this year we're hitting the road with the sole goal of like buying a piece of property in a campground in a particular place, which we don't know where it's going to be yet. So it's one of those things where if we
want to build a campground or buy one and make it
2020, like we're hitting the road with that sole purpose this year. That's why we're getting back on the road. That's a whole nother story, I guess, but yeah. I didn't tell you that.
From watching one of your
reports,
but yeah, we could talk for 2 hours about all.
So it kind of depends where we land. Like, are the school systems really good? Are we still like having a great time traveling? Is she still enjoying it? Is there, you know, if she's into things like, you know, music lessons or dance and that we are in one place already, maybe it makes sense to put her in a school. I don't like, I'm totally open to what happens in our lives over the next few years. So it's not really a big concern for me. We'll figure it out. She'll be fine. As far as like the doctor's appointments go, we're still here and she's past 6 months now. So she's had a lot of her big checkups. And so after this, they get further and further in between. So whenever it's time for like, I don't know if it's 6 months after this time at 1 year or whatever, we have a whole schedule at home. We can just come swing back through North Texas where our pediatrician is. And we've also got him on speed dial if we need him or anything like that. So I was more concerned about being in Italy where I don't speak the language and, you know, hospitals are very different. So that was more of a concern for me, like traveling around the US and like there's hospitals everywhere. People speak the language. Like, and I'm not.
That's what we found. But that's one of the big questions, particularly people with kids as they travel. They worry about that. And it's good to address that because it's not a big fine care. And what many RVers do is like Jennifer and I, we're home for through Christmas, through December, through Christmas, or Thanksgiving through Christmas and a little bit in the new year. So we schedule all of our annual appointments when we're back at our Michigan home. We don't have to worry about them on the road. And then we carry all those records. So you'll be doing that. I mean, sure, taking Ellie stuff. All right. Well, we'll give a shout out to all those people. Tell everybody, Heath, how they can follow you and Alyssa. And Alyssa, I know, would be with us this morning, but she's got a young 6-month-old baby.
She did want to be on. When we had this originally scheduled at noon, she was all in, and then we rescheduled at 8 a.m. and she's like, I'm not gonna make it.
Yeah, I don't blame her. It's early. So what's the best way for people to follow you guys? I know you've got so many irons in the fire, but what's the single best way that they can connect with all the things you do?
Yeah, heathandalyssa.com is kind of the hub for everything, and then the rventrepreneur.com is for the conference specifically. So either of those would be great.
All right, last question is speak to those who are like you, young, starting off with a family, want to see the world, but are still a little, you know, their one foot is still like, oh, I got to stay in a traditional, 9-to-5 and security. Talk about that.
Yeah, I would say, obviously, you need to take care of your family first and foremost, like be a responsible adult and things like that. But I think for the way I see it is like part of my responsibility is doing my best for us to live a life that makes us excited and happy and to be that example for Ellie and not make decisions based on fear. So I would say that if you're making the decision because you have to make money, then you obviously need to provide for your family first and foremost. Like, I'm not trying to promote throw caution to the wind, especially now that you have a kid or something like that. But I think that you know, for her to be able to see us out traveling and going on hikes and doing the things that make us really excited and happy, I think is going to be really good for her versus me making, you know, 50 to 100,000 more if I was in a traditional job. So to me, that's like an easy decision.
Well, Heath Padgett, give our best to Alyssa. Jennifer and I look forward to being with you, and we'll be at the summit. We'll be kind of addressing people who, you know, are wondering how they do this, and talking about technology and working from the road and finding fun and freedom out there. And that's the one thing that no matter what age, the RV lifestyle offers everybody is fun, freedom, adventure, and community. And I'm glad to be part of your community, Heath.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Heath mentioned the RV Entrepreneur Summit coming up next March 19th through the 22nd, 2020 at Lake Guntersville State Park in Alabama. Jennifer and I are excited to report that we'll be there. We'll be main stage speakers at that event, along with some other great RV entrepreneurs. And it's all aimed at folks who want to work or earn a living on the road in an RV, or maybe supplement the cost of travel through some remote or location-independent work. We'll share our story, and you'll also meet, as I said, many other entrepreneurs at that awesome event to see. So we invite you to check it out and consider joining us at the RV Summit. We'll put a link in the show notes, and the show notes are at rvlifestyle.com/272. rvlifestyle.com/272. There's a video version in those show notes of our interview with Heath, and a lot of pictures and some video of his RV and his family and the places they've been. I think you'll enjoy that. And also a transcript with all the links to the things that Heath talked about. And just a heads up and a programming note, in the interview of the week section next week, we will be interviewing Mark and Trish from the hugely popular Keep Your Daydream YouTube channel. Among a host of topics with Mark and Trish, we'll be talking to them about RV living with teenagers. And I think you'll really enjoy the interview. And that will be next week. The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. At Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida, you will find a huge selection of new and used small motorhomes. They specialize in small motorhomes, and they have all the new ones. They've got the most popular Class B, the Winnebago Travato. That's the most popular Class B sold today in North America. They have the Winnebago Era. They've got the Coachman Beyond. They've got the American Patriot. They've got the Fleetwood IROC, brand new, in stock, on their lot in Gainesville. And, of course, all this is available through the website. They also have a huge inventory of used small motorhomes. Previously owned RVs ranging from the early 90s to the current year. Everything in between, from all the major brands, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel Vans, Coachman, Road Trek, more. Not a wider selection anywhere else in North America. Now, if you can't get to Gainesville, don't worry about it. Just go to their website, sunshinestatervs.com. Take a look through their massive inventory. And then if you got a question, call Nick or Craig from Sunshine State RVs and talk to them. One of the things that impresses Jennifer and I every time we visit them is this very thorough 172-point inspection in which they ensure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems in their RVs are in top condition. They road test the used ones to make sure they run and drive the way they should. They go over the interior just as entirely as the outside. They thoroughly clean and detail them. You need to check them out yourself. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
And here's our regular Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Bonterre, Missouri is a mining town and probably best known for the mine tour, which takes visitors on boats along an underground river to see historic structures from the mine and some unusual subterranean sites. It's also a top destination for cave divers with support systems, organized tours, and safety experts to promote a one-of-a-kind scuba experience. The mine is definitely worth a stop, but it was closed on the day we drove through. Anxious for a break from the road, we spied a car lot in which several elephants and a couple of bulls were interspersed with the vehicles. What more excuse does a person need?
We pulled into the lot in the middle of a crisp and sunny fall afternoon and were greeted by Dennis, who seemed undismayed when we told him we'd stop to see the animals. Everybody does, he told us. When you're through looking around out here, there's lots more to see inside. It seems the collection started when a local businessman was retiring and couldn't figure out what to do with the giant elephant on a pole outside his shop. Another businessman and entrepreneur, Kevin Blackwell, agreed to purchase the elephant, and so, as we were told, the story began.
Regardless of its origin, the collection is impressive. There's the pink elephant with glasses, the gray elephant with pink spots, the Maharaja's elephant, and more. And there are bulls, big brawny bulls with signs on their sides. Inside the showroom are more animals, including a giant bass. But those aren't the showstoppers. You can take a long, hard look at the Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit, signed on the hood by Burt Reynolds, or you could think about what it might feel like to throw your leg across Arnold Schwarzenegger's Harley Davidson.
There's a shotgun owned by John Wayne, and costumes from Sharon Stone and Will Smith. Commander Data's life mask is here from Star Trek, as is T.G. Shepard's Mercedes convertible. Signed Fight Club gloves, signed basketballs and baseballs, an impressive collection of classic model cars, tickets and jerseys and posters and shoes. You can easily while away an hour wandering through the things on display, and the folks here were quite friendly despite the fact we clearly weren't looking to buy a car.
U.S. Highway 67 winds its way from Iowa to the border with Mexico, then continues as a Mexican federal highway. It's one of the long roads in the USA, stretching more than 1,500 miles through Missouri, Arkansas, and Texas. In Arkansas, part of it is called the Rock and Roll Highway, and we once visited Walnut Creek to see the Beatles Memorial and the giant Fender guitar. There's much more to see along this road, and we're planning to see it all eventually. We'll look for you out here off the beaten path.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right. Hey, don't forget, come next, January 8th, when after we come back from the Christmas break, we want to do an episode about your bucket list plans for 2020. So just call into our voicemail number, which is 586-372-6990, and let us know. Just say, hey, for 2020, top of my bucket list is, and tell us where you want to go and why. Why you want to go to that place. Again, our voicemail message number for you is 586-372-6990. Hey, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland saying so long and happy trails. Bye-bye, everybody.